So last week, if you recall, we did bell hand, right? It's where we were quieting the nervous system. Today, we're going to do something a little bit bigger than that. We're going to work on the gluteus maximus muscles. And before we do anything, I'm just going to screen share with you and show you, just as a refresher, what they look like. Can you all see that? So it's just a small picture, but see where the red band is? That's the gluteus maximus on each side. And just at the top there, I couldn't find a better picture quickly. Just at the top there is the top of the iliac crest. So that is where it inserts at the top. And then you can see that the fibers wrap around. That's the direction of the fibers down, wrapping around toward the outside. And they insert at the greater trochanter at the bottom here, at that big protrusion on your leg. But what's interesting here is these fibers are sideways, okay? And the only thing that muscle fibers can do is contract and uncontract. So the fibers come together and they come apart. And when they come together is when you get the contraction of this muscle. So this is the biggest of the gluteus muscles. There's also the medius and the minimus, and there's a fourth one. But we're going to be focusing on whoops, what happened to it? In this lesson, oh, there it is. We're going to be focusing on these big muscles. So if you were to put your hands on them, you would want to sort of wrap them facing a little bit downward to the side so you could actually feel the muscles moving. Questions? Pardon? So it's not the knee, but it's the greater trochanter. It's not as low down as the knee. It looks like that in the picture, but I don't think it's as low down as the knee. I think it's sort of midway between the hip joint and the knee. If I could get a better picture on the front, I could show it to you. I'll see if I can find a better one and maybe send you a link. Okay? So what we're going to do then is really do some. And so, what does the gluteus maximus do? What does it do? What it does is it extends the hip joint and rotates the leg outward. So what does it mean to extend the hip joint? So stand up for a moment, and we'll find out. So your hip joint, just as a refresher, is where the ball of the femur sits in the socket of the pelvis. And that the connection where those two bones meet, those two bony areas meet, is the hip joint. So if you were to, in standing, sort of just flex your knee toward your chest, where you get the fold in the crease of your pants, that's the hip joint. Okay, so bringing it toward your chest is flexion. And if you were to step that knee, take that same leg and step it backward, that would be extension. Okay, so that whichever leg you're taking backward, you're extending through the hip joint. So if you were to take one leg forward and just bring it forward and put it on the ground, and then as if you were going to take a step, that back leg, now as you swing that back leg through, notice what you're doing in that hip joint. So at the moment, you may not sense a lot going on in the hip joint, and you may not sense a lot happening in the gluteus maximus, in those muscles along your buttock. But that's where what we're going to be doing. So we're going to be looking at what is the role of this muscle and working through these muscles in function, in walking, and other things that you need your hip joint for. So as you're standing there, and if you're still trying to step through, you could just notice the weight. Actually, just stand for a moment and notice the support underneath your feet. And just sense on which parts of each foot you're standing. So many of you have heard me speak of the head of the fourth metatarsal. That connects right to the knee, to the heel, and the first metatarsal, the first toe. And if you stand with the support from the first meta, see if I can get this. If you can stand with support into that heel and feel the support along the length of that fourth toe, and then the corresponding support in the big toe, that is sort of the tripod of support. And for now, notice how much you're in on that space and how much you're maybe rolled in a little bit into the arch. So again, that's something we're going to be playing with in this lesson. So if you were going to bend down now, just notice how you do that through the hip joints. And what you notice in your buttocks. Okay, and then stand again. And again, notice the support in your feet. And notice the difference in the support in your feet and in your hip joint on the right foot compared to the left foot. And you'll probably notice, as we do the lesson, differences. Probably some marked differences between one side and the other. So just have a little walk around and notice what it feels like to walk, how you use your feet and your hip joints. And then when you're ready, come and lie on your back to rest. Okay, so as you're resting on your back, and you sense the space, that's your hip joints. If your feet are long or standing, whichever is most comfortable for you. And notice this, the arch in your lower back, the space, that's your lumbar spine. And then the length of your spine from your tailbone going all the way up and through you, through to the back of your head. And remembering that your pelvis and your head are the two anchors of your spine. Notice how each is resting on the ground, but particularly notice your pelvis. So you can feel the weight now under each side of your, each sitting bone, each sort of side of your buttocks. And you can notice if your pelvis is rotated a little bit to one side or the other side. And make a small movement of moving your head just to get some movement in your head. And then slowly, please roll yourself up to sitting. So remember last week when we did the bell hand, we talked about how do you transition from lying to sitting, keeping that connection into your nervous system of that bell hand. So even if you're not doing the bell hand, how do you keep that awareness of how you're transitioning? How do you keep that going? So if you're able to, sit with your legs long in front of you. And you may need a block to do that, so get something to sit on if you need it. And so your legs are long in front of you. They're not together. They're a little bit apart from each other. You could place your hands just on your thighs or on your lap just for support. And in this position, notice, first of all, how you're sitting and the alignment from your sitting bones up through your spine. And then just very gently with your hands on your, just on your legs, contract the both gluteus maximus on both sides. Contract each muscle and release. Contract, really see if you can make a strong contraction so you can sense the movement of your body. And if you pay attention, you may feel that your body starts to lift up a little bit. Do it a few times and make the effort in your buttocks, in the muscles of your gluteus maximus, not in your shoulders. So it's not about lifting up your shoulders, but really feeling the contraction in your buttock muscles. So So just notice what happens. It's as if your skeleton's been, it's being lifted up a little bit. Notice what happens with your heels. And notice what happens to the space behind your knees. So how, what happens, and can you sense while you're doing it, this, the relationship between one side and the other? Sherry, you may want to sit on something a little harder than that. Is that hard enough for you? Okay. So feel the relationship between your, if you pay attention, you'll be able to notice that one side is contracting more strongly than the other. For me, it's pretty evident, and it's pretty, the contrast is very large. For you, it might not be as much. So if your legs are apart, you'll see what happens as you contract and release. You'll feel your legs moving. You might feel not only your heels moving, but maybe your legs start to rotate a little bit. Maybe your knees start to bend a little bit, so the space underneath them opens. And so what you're essentially doing is rotating and shortening a little bit. And then make that movement a little bit more quickly. A little bit more quickly and a little bit lighter. Yeah, so some of you have gotten the point where it's almost like you're sort of riding a horse, right? It's just a little bit of an up and down movement. And I can see that in the up and down movement is connecting all the way through through your whole body. So just get a sense of that. So without you having to do the work in your upper body, you can feel that everything is moving as you contract quickly and lightly. But as you're making these fast contractions, notice that both sides are contracting equally. Okay, perfect, great, let that go. And please rest on your back. What's your sensation of yourself on your back? Where do you notice even a subtle change in how you're meeting the ground after those initial movements of contracting your buttocks? So, and just make a small movement of moving your head. Just let your head move a tiny little bit one way and a tiny little bit the other way. Let your head rest and stay on your back. Have your legs a little bit apart from each other, a little bit more apart than what you might be used to. And they're long, if you can keep them long. And again, make this movement of very clearly and forcefully to some extent, contracting both your buttock muscles, the muscles on both sides. And if you can, notice which one is stronger. And one indicator might be that that side of your pelvis lifts a little bit higher than the other. Why is it stronger? What do you sense is happening on the stronger side that may not be happening on the other side? And what's the impact of the contractions here on your back in your whole body? So what's happening to the length of your body, your shoulders, on each side? And is there a difference even farther up from your pelvis from this contraction? And what's happening with your legs here? So when you were sitting, what was the movement of rotation of your legs? And what's the movement of rotation of your legs as you're lying on your back? Okay, and then please let that go for a moment. So these muscles, while they're large, are sometimes hard to isolate when we try to really strongly contract them. So now, again, have your legs long and apart. And intentionally only contract the muscles on the right side. And notice how the right side of yourself lifts, and which part of your back is touching the floor. And pay close attention to what's happening in your lumbar vertebra, the vertebra on the lower arch of your back, and what's happening in your chest when you contract only the right side. So, and how is it different than when you did this in sitting? Which way does your pelvis turn? So this movement of contracting your gluteus maximus does turn your pelvis. It extends your hip, rotates your leg, and the rotation of your leg is turning your pelvis. So just notice which way that's happening. And then let that go. Again, keep your legs long for a moment. Pause. And please contract the left buttock only. And notice what happens to your knee on this side. What does your left foot do? What does your left leg do? Is it turning inward or outward? And what's happening to your pelvis? And which side of your pelvis is more active? When you contract and release, do you do a jerky movement, or can you do a smooth movement of contraction and then release? So we're always, in any movement, looking for the continuity of the movement and its return. Trying to make each phase of the movement as smooth as we can. And then go back to just doing your right side. Notice what your right knee and foot do. And then go back to your left side. And can you alternate? Do one on one side, one on the other side. Do you momentarily stop your breath when you try and do this? What do you notice at the back of your neck? And then finally contract both of them together again. And notice that what you sense about your legs and where they're turning, if they're turning outward a little bit or turning inward. So do it not fast, but strong. Contract and release, contract and release. And then do them both quickly. And pay attention to what your lower abdomen and stomach do as you increase the speed. Notice how your pelvis turns. And when you're doing it quickly, are both sides contracting equally? Which way are your heels moving? Okay, please pause for a moment, take a break. So I see a lot of you flexing your knees now as you're resting. I'm wondering if you have put a lot of work into your lower back and it was arching quite a bit. So please come onto your front, so your stomach. Okay, so you're on your front. Your legs are spread, I'm going to let you decide where to put your head. So you're either facing forward, downward toward the floor, or you're turned right or left. And see if you can put your hands on the back of your buttocks so you can actually feel them. And remember when I showed you the photo, see if you can actually place them so that you're sort of got your fingers along the direction of the muscles, of muscle fibers. And here, contract both your buttocks. And notice if you can sense underneath your hands if they're contracting equally or not. So now notice what happens with your legs. How is it different here? So are your heels moving inward this time or outward? Are your knees moving inward or outward? See which leg responds more quickly. And again, that you might tell by having your hands there and feeling the contraction, but you also might notice the turn in your legs. Which side contracts more easily? Which side contracts more forcefully? What happened to you? What? Oh, okay. So we're on our fronts. And everyone pause for a moment. So again, you're on your front, and what we just did is you had your hands, so your legs are long and spread, you're turned in whichever direction seems more comfortable for you, your hands are on the back of your buttocks, and you were contracting both to see which one was stronger. So now please, focus on the one that was stronger and contract only that side. So just feel what happens when you contract that one side. What happens to that one side of your leg? What happens to that one side of your pelvis? What happens to that, the length of your back? And then do the other side only. And periodically change the way your head is resting so that you can explore the impact of your head position on this contraction, these contractions. So again, alternate between the strong side and the less strong side. And what is it about the strong side that makes it strong? What is it about that that you can perhaps transfer, do a little bit of knowledge transfer over to the other side? And then now, contract them both together powerfully. Actually, everyone wants to rest, so just take a break for a second. Take a moment to pause. So again, place your hands on your buttocks, and now, rather than doing one at a time, see if you can contract them simultaneously together quite powerfully and hold it for a couple of seconds. So you hold the contraction and then you release it, and then do that a couple of times. So notice if you're doing any what we call parasitic movements, if you're making the movement elsewhere, like lifting your back or arching your back or something that's not it's not contracting your buttock muscles. So really try and focus on that. Contracting strongly and holding and then releasing. And again, notice as you make that contraction, what happens to your legs and how do they rotate? What do you notice in the hip joint that's resting on the floor? Each of your hip joints, the space between your pelvis and the floor. Okay, and then please pause that and come onto your back to rest. Again, noticing your resting connections to the floor and within yourself. Notice how your back rests now and if there's any sense of change, any ease, and lighter in some places. So please come and stand on your knees. So come to your knees. So grab a pad for your knees if you need one. Or two. So you're on your knees, not sitting on your heels. So you're lifted up on your knees. Bring your knees and your feet close together and maybe not having your toes on the floor like that. So just having your toes long. Yeah, so you're not pushing through your toes. Again, you can put your hands on the back of your buttocks just to feel those muscles. And so here what we're doing is we're looking at a different position. You have a different points, different support because now you've got your knees as opposed to being, we started sitting, then you were on your back and then you were on your front. So now you have a shorter distance of support, which is from your pelvis down to your knees. So your hands are on your buttocks and now you can powerfully contract both and release. So hopefully you're not sitting on your heels. I can't see everybody, but you're lifted up. So again, see if you can contract, hold for a second or two, and then release. And notice now what happens to your legs. Which way does your pelvis turn? And can you sense what's happening in your lumbar spine? So as you do this movement, you might sense a very tiny flattening of the curve in your spine. Maybe not totally flattening, but just the arch becoming smaller. So it's actually rounding a little bit backward. And what that does also is move your navel upward. So that movement of contracting this position sort of takes your pelvis down, rounds your lower back a little bit, lifts your navel up a little bit, and also brings your pubic bone a little bit forward. Yeah, for those of you who can't be on your knees, do sit symmetrically and do it. Actually, maybe sit with the soles of your feet together if you can't be on your knees. So see if you can feel your pubic bone moving forward and your pelvis turning a little bit. So it's as if you had something sticking out, a pencil sticking out of your navel, it would be lifting up and forward. That's it. And then what happens to your whole upper back and chest? So just pause, everyone take a pause when you need to, come back to it. So see if you can just contract them both together. Okay, and then just pause for a moment. Sit if you can, just because we're going to come back to the knees in a moment. So sit and rest. So when you're ready, please come back to your knees. Again, your knees and your feet are close together, but you know, they don't have to be sort of pushing to each other. Now, so you're on your knees, and again, if you need to, if you want, if you've gotten the idea of the contraction, you don't have to have your hands there. Your hands are there to give you that sense. See if you can isolate and contract one side. So when you were on your back, you discovered, or on your front, you did, on both, you discovered which was stronger. Is that still the case? Is that side still stronger? And see if you can isolate the stronger side. And what happens to one side of your body as you make that contraction? So you're on your knees, and your legs, your lower legs are just long behind you. Your toes are just extended on the ground. That's it. And now contract the other one. And again, notice how it turns your pelvis and what happens to that connection into your lower back and in your abdomen. Okay, and then please pause again. And then if you can, please return to your knees. And now see if you can contract them both, but quickly. Several times quickly. Noticing what happens. You do those quick, sort of short movements. And then do it powerfully and hold for a couple moments. Notice if you're still breathing despite all these efforts and what's happening to your chest. And sometimes the sense of working too hard is felt in the jaw, like you sort of clench your jaw, or you do this with your shoulders come all the way up to your ears. Okay, and then please let that go and find a comfortable place to rest in now. It doesn't have to be in sitting. Notice where you chose to rest and what you're sensing. So any position goes, but just notice what you feel like as you're resting. So please come back to your knees, but we're going to be asymmetrical this time. So it's really your left knee and stand on your right foot. So you're on your left knee and stand your right foot. So you've got your right foot in front of you. No, you're on your left knee. So come back to your two knees. Oh, you can't. Okay. Those of you that can't be on your knees, then sit asymmetrically. So sit on the ground, but sit with one leg in front and one leg behind. You just want to create an asymmetry. Or have one leg long and one leg bent, something that's not symmetrical. For those of you on one knee, again, contract both your buttocks. And now you're going to discover something interesting, because really, you're not going to sense the same contraction on both sides by virtue of the fact that you're not symmetrical. And most of my money would be on stronger contraction on the knee, on the one that has the knee on the ground. Maybe wrong, but that's what I felt. And if that's so that would be the left gluteus maximus, the left buttock, and you might find that what it's doing, it's turning your pelvis a little bit, and it's moving that right leg, the one that's standing, it may be helping to lengthen that right knee a little bit forward. For those of you sitting, however you've decided to sit asymmetrically, hopefully with your hands sort of just loose somewhere, and contract one side and just discover what happens, because I can't see how you're sitting. Discover what happens to the other side. So what we're really looking for here is the impact of the asymmetry, the impact of having one side contract because you can't really feel the contraction, or you don't really get that same contraction on the other side. And for those of you kneeling, what you could find is you could really see how it turns your pelvis and lengthens the opposite leg a little bit. So your femur is lengthening through the hip joint, and the left side of your pelvis turns. And notice, do you look downward, do you look forward, do you look upward as you do that? And what do you sense in your breath? Nice. Okay, and then pause again and rest. So what we're doing is we're doing the same movements in different orientations, different constraints, different use of ourself, different way of experiencing this movement, this sort of isolating this contraction in the gluteus maximus. To oftentimes, I know when I walk, I don't often feel them working. So how do we get them to be more active so that our hip really can extend? The more we can get that extension in the hip joint, the more we can keep that hip joint lubricated and not need to, or not experience tightness in it. So please switch now. So now stand your left foot and rest on your right knee. And if you were sitting, flip yourself the other way, however you were sitting asymmetrically. And take a moment, those of you on your knees, to really find out where you're going to place that foot. Where is that left foot going to go? So is it going to be right in front? Is it going to be a little bit off to the left? What are you going to do? How are you going to feel that it's stable enough to support you? And then do that movement of contracting both sides again. Notice what happens. And notice if you feel this more on the right side of your pelvis now. And what happens to your left leg? So how is your left leg moving? How is it rotating? And how is that femur extending? And the movement may not be as, you may not feel the same amount of movement that you did with the other side. Again, notice what's happening to your lumbar spine, the shape that it takes, and if it's more clearly, if you can more clearly sense it on one side compared to the other side. Okay, and please pause that moment. Take a break. So once again, please come to your knees. Again, contract both of them together and see what you feel now. Keeping your knees together. And contract strongly and then contract quickly. Just see the difference. So really you're comparing yourself to earlier. And then pause for a moment and now bring your legs apart from each other. So your knees apart, but your toes together, your feet together, so that you can almost get a sense that your big toes touch one another. And I see the nice modification in sitting there. Good. Okay. So again, you can have your hands on your buttocks if you want. This time, contract them both powerfully. So what we've done is we've changed your support. So now your knees are apart, so it's a little bit more stable, but your toes are together. And it's changing the shape of your pelvis, and it's going to change how you sense the contraction. And now observe how your pelvis moves, and how your lumbar vertebrae move a little bit backward your pubic bone moves forward. And noticing if the contraction feels symmetrical or not. So how did this change in your shape change the movement? And then try to make a few movements very quickly. Both of them together very quickly. And just notice what you sense. So the issue here is to distinguish between your intentionally lifting your abdomen and your abdomen being lifted by virtue of the contraction. So the muscles contracting, rotating your legs, lifting your abdomen, or are you actually doing it yourself? Okay, come and rest, and that's it for your knees. You'll be happy to know. No more stomach, no more knees. I know. So we're going to explore this now in standing. So please come up to standing on your feet. So before we do anything, just sense yourself in standing. So see how this compares to earlier. And notice what parts of your feet you're standing on and what that arch is like, what you notice in the arch in your foot. And please bring most of the weight onto your right foot. Let your left leg just be a little bit off to the side, and just, you know, have a little bit of support in the toes of your left foot, but see if you can have most of the weight into your right foot. So it's the same thing as when you had asymmetry before, when you had one foot standing and one knee. And again here, contract only. We'll see what happens when you contract, but you'll sense that it's mostly coming in the right buttock too. See if you can isolate the movement in the right buttock, contracting and releasing. Notice how your pelvis moves and in which direction. So this contraction of your right buttock will probably move your pelvis a little bit to the left. Your right knee will start to turn a little bit. And you may find yourself moving on your foot a little bit to that outside arch. You might find that the middle of your foot lifts a little bit and sort of rotates you a little bit to the side. And if you don't sense that, see if you can actually create a little bit of that movement of arching your foot. And if you intentionally lift the inner part of your foot, the inner arch, you'll find that as you come onto the outer arch, your foot shortens a little bit. And what we mean by that is your relative to each other, your toes are going to come a little bit closer to your heel. Not a huge amount, but that's the idea. But it's all through contracting the right side of your pelvis. And again, if you need your hand there to give you that sense, then bring it there. And just make sure that your left leg is standing quietly and not doing a lot. And how does it affect your upper body and your stance and your breath? And then see if you can make those contractions of your right side quickly. Multiple times, but quickly. Okay, and then let that go. And just give yourself a chance to either lie on your back, sit down, walk around, stand, whatever, before we do the other side. And as you're walking, you may notice different sensation in your right foot compared to your left foot. So please again come and stand somewhere and shift most of the weight into your left foot. Have your right leg just off to the side a little bit, leaning just on the tip of your toes without putting too much weight in your right foot. And see if you can isolate the contraction into the left side. So the left gluteus muscles. So your right leg is there sort of to balance you, but it's not doing much. And notice how your left leg responds and how it compares to how your right leg responded earlier. Does your arch lift the same amount in your foot? Is the shape different or the same? So you may also get a sense of what's happening in your heel. What is the sensation of movement in your heel and in the toes of your foot? So the idea is how much of this contraction is actually rotating your leg. So we know that the gluteus maximus externally rotates. How much of this movement can you sense is actually externally rotating that left leg? And just alternate now. Oh no, actually don't. Just let it go and rest for a moment. Just give yourself a chance to have a break. Many of you might be feeling really sense of really having done some work in all those muscles in your buttocks. And a lot of it is because we don't use them a lot. So they're being awakened to some extent. So please stand on both your feet. And have your legs a little bit apart, fairly wide apart, and just point your toes a little bit outward. And then contract both sides. So if you need to periodically, you can bring your hands back to feel the contraction in your buttocks if that works for you. And again, feel the contraction and notice so the movement of going on to that outer part of your legs, your foot, is the external rotation. So just notice how much you feel that. And as you feel that, as you contract, you can feel that your pubic bone moves up, your navel moves up, your lower back rounds a bit. So just feel all that connection from just the contraction of those two powerful muscles. So just looking to see, you can feel, and then you can also look at your feet to see what happens to the heels, what happens to the toes. Really getting a sense that pubic bone is moving forward. And notice if your knees change their shape, if they straighten as you contract your buttocks or if they don't. Okay, and then let that go. And just walk for a moment and then lie on your back and rest. So what does resting tell you now in terms of your contacts to the floor, the length of your back? Okay, just noticing how you rest. And what your pelvis, how your pelvis is resting and what the senses of the movement in your legs. So for instance, with your legs long, how externally rotated are they? And what would it feel like for you to just very gently make a very small movement of turning them a little bit in and a little bit out? Very tiny, just to see if there's any change in them. Well, we didn't do it earlier, but just to sense how each leg turns in and out. Okay, and then let that go. And please come back to sitting. So we're not going to be standing now, but we're going to be sitting on the ground. And sit the way you sat at the very beginning, with your legs long. Have your hands resting on your thighs, on your lap. And do that movement again of contracting both sides. Notice how you, what the sensation is. So your legs have to be a little bit apart from each other to get a sense of this. And just notice how your body shifts now. So remember at the beginning we looked for how far do you lift. What happens to your lumbar spine? What happens to your pubic bone? So now please place your hands behind you and bring your legs into like a frog-like position, which is the soles of your feet together and your knees pointing out to the side. And so this is yet another position, and gently contract both, not gently, but powerfully contract both sides. So your feet don't have to touch necessarily if they can't. You want to be comfortable. You want to have your legs pretty spread apart. And again, feel the contraction on both sides. Now, your hands are back there for support. See if you're pushing through them or not. And can you avoid that? Push through your hands and just feel the contraction on both sides of your both buttocks. What's happening to your pubic bone now? What's happening to your chest now, because now your chest is in the position to be lifted a little bit more. What do you notice about your lumbar spine? And then gently isolate the right side several times. Again, you can do it a little bit quickly, several times, just isolating the right side. And then several times with the left side. And with your left side, can you contract and hold, contract and hold? So we go through, we just do a strong contraction, we do fast, and then we do the contract and hold. So the three different ways of sort of sensing what happens. Okay, and then pause that for a moment and just give yourself a chance to have a quick break. So just surprise, surprise, this lesson is called buttocks. In case you want to do it again, you can find the recording later in the week. So again, sit with the soles of your feet toward each other. And bring both your hands behind you for support again. And see if you can lift both your legs into the air so that you can be balanced on your buttocks. And then, if you're able to do that, shift your weight onto your right side and then advance your left side. And then shift your weight on your left side and advance your right side. So basically walking on your buttocks. So you have to lift them in the air, you shift the weight on one, advance the other, you shift the weight on the other and advance. So you're like walking forward like a frog. That's it. Or you can imagine it if it's too difficult. So you start by having the soles of your feet toward each other. You lift your pelvis off the ground. And in order to move forward, you have to shift the weight on your right side so that you can bring your left side forward. Then you shift the weight on your left side so you can bring the right side forward. And then you can lift your hand so that you can actually advance forward. And then you can advance backward. So you can basically walk on your pelvis. Walking like a frog. There you go. Yep. Some of you can do it without your hands down. That's cool. Good. Okay. And then let that go. And please come and rest on your back. That was sort of your take-home little prize there, the buttock walking. So just notice how you rest now and how it compares to earlier. Please keep your legs long if you can for a moment and spread. And And just do one of those earlier movements that we did of contracting both sides of your buttocks and just notice what happens. So you can notice if your legs are turning differently, if your pelvis is lifting, what the soles of your feet are doing, how your feet are turning, how your heels are turning, and what your sensation is on each side of your pelvis. So if you can actually feel the muscles a little bit more clearly. That's it. Okay, then let that go, please. And when you're ready, slowly bring yourself up to standing. And as you stand, the moment you come to stand, you just notice yourself. So what is the support like under your feet? What is the alignment from your heel to your fourth toe? What's the shape of your arch? What's the turnout of your legs? So if you recall at the beginning, we looked at the external, at the extension through your hip joint. In a way where you did that, where you brought one foot forward, and then as you brought the other foot through, you looked at how you extend your hip joints. So when we walk and engage our buttock muscles and engage our gluteus maximus, we can really feel the extension in the hip joint. And then we can really feel that we're walking with the notion of that back leg moving us forward as opposed to that front leg pulling us forward. So it's not so much that the back leg pushes us, but that back hip joint really gets that sense of extension and can bring us forward. And you can notice the sense of connection through the soles of your feet and how that helps you with walking. So I'd love to hear what you guys think and what you've noticed after the buttocks and how it's affected not only your walking but your sitting and your standing.